Okay, reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. I believe it's chapter 21 of the Majjhalila. Text 24. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mahatsai Srinivasa Balena Gosashi. Adi Deva Prema Eshabi Chai. Srivas Mahasai said, O Lord, we all want you to give ecstatic love to Mother Sachi. Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa De Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. You know, we started this during the pandemic and everyone was home. And it created an unprecedented opportunity for devotees around the world to be free to hear Krishna Katha. So I took avail of this opportunity by increasing my classes. And I'm still continuing, and it may not be the numbers where I originally started now that people have to go back to work and do different things. But it's still such a great opportunity that I really feel fulfilled that I can connect so intimately with people I have some spiritual responsibility to educate. So in that sense, things are better than ever. Now we're doing Gaur Lila. I've been sharing with you my struggles to write Monday morning greetings just because I'm recovering some health problems. The focus I need in sadhana and the study I need in sadhana and the concentration has been a little bit reduced. So right on Monday morning, we take a little bit more effort. But this morning, I began to write the next one. And I think it's a little bit related to this one. I want to write something called the sounds of the ultimate.
Maharaj, we're losing the sound a little bit.
Yeah.
You're kind of choppy.
Any idea why?
I think it might be, I don't know if the AirPods have a full charge or not.
They were fully charged.
Okay. But you're kind of choppy a little bit.
Let me try to go on by my... my iPhone. Let's see if it Okay.
Okay.
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
We can hear you, Marsh.
You can hear me, right?
Yep, much better.
Okay. So, Kadumba Mala to the rescue. Haribo. He's really on a roll. Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking of what to write, and I wanted to write something, the sounds of the ultimate reality. Because as you know, those of you who've been listening to the 10th Canto with me, I'm trying to approach it through an understanding of love, devotion. But the vehicle for devotion is the senses. If someone says, I love you, their emotion is, and their conviction is carried through sound. If someone gives you flowers or a garland, the emotion is, connected to you through shape, fragrance, and color. Okay. You ever heard the English expression? When it rains, it pours. So I'm kind of having that kind of experience because my computer kind of crashed also. And the joy, the absolute joy of being equal in happiness and distress. The joy of seeing everything that is coming to you is for you, and shifting your happiness to a different realm called Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti means when you're fully committed to the absolute truth, as represented by Krishna, the Shastra, through your lineage. And when you commit that way and you never act frivolously, it puts you on a spiritual platform, another platform of happiness. So these trials that we have are only meant to move us in that direction. So I had that vision of the ultimate reality and how it's not just sound, it's love. So the next one, I just want to explain how through sound, it's just the ultimate expression of love. And now going to Gaurlila, because it seems every chapter is the same. And this way, Lord Chaitanya enjoyed his pastimes of going through the district of Nadia with his Gadadhar and Nityananda, his two main associates. And there are different pastimes of this supreme exchange of Uttama Bhakti, where we get to actually see what happens when someone is completely loving and free from selfishness. It's a connection with God. And really, if we study the teachings of Prabhupada, this is actually what Prabhupada has given us and doesn't let us forget it. I remember Burijan Prabhu made a very profound and simple comment. There's no one who studied the Bhagavatam more than him. And he said that, you know, after 40 years of studying the Bhagavatam, I realized that the essence of his message is to surrender to Guru and Krishna. But really what it's saying is, I'm going to do what's right not just what I want. What I want can be what's right, but not because I want it, but because it conforms to what's right. I'm just going to live a life like that. That's called a saint. We're just connected. You want to use it in more new age to, you know, go with the flow. But what is the flow? The flow is the will of God. And how do we know it? Through the Shastra. And how do we know the Shastra? That's through our lineage. So when people live like that, it connects them to the internal potency. The internal potency comes into the heart of someone in Uttama Bhakti. And when that comes into the heart, it's a life of joy. It may not exactly conform to our analysis of how people should move, but it's beautiful. And these stories are connected. And we finished the story of Devananda Pandit, who is this really incredibly learned and peaceful Brahmin, who got chastised for Lord Chaitanya because of two things. He was devoid of devotion. And he offended a devotee. And really, the two are really connected. These offenses, offenses to the holy name, they're very, very serious. You can't really counteract offenses. It's not like karma kanda where you can perform with atonement. You offend someone, you get the result. Offense itself is the result. It's aparad. It distances you from devotion. So it's a very, very important part of our spiritual process to learn how to be, to learn how to be Vaishnavas. And as I mentioned before, the modern culture of internet, which magnifies prajalpa. And I'll repeat it again. I repeat in the last class that prajalpa will lead to Vaishnava aparad. Because once you're not controlled with your tongue, it'll gravitate towards the things you like rather than the things that are right. And one thing we like in this world is criticizing people and establishing our superiority. It's just core, basic, why we have this particular body for that purpose, for fulfilling these desires. So Lord Chaitanya, in his Leela to teach us, he sometimes has extreme examples, and this is going to be an extreme example. Where he wouldn't give mercy to his mother because she criticized the Vaishnava. And her criticism also was kind of understandable. And we'll hear about that story, how she criticized Advaitacharya because due to the preaching of Advaitacharya, her eldest son, Lord Chaitanya's eldest brother, who is named Vishwarup, awakened the spirit of dedication and detachment that he took sannyas. And this was a factor of Indian culture, that at a certain level of realization, one was free of all responsibilities. It's something that you didn't take whimsically. But he was at that platform, as we may have read about Raghunath Das Goswami. He was at that platform that because he had no desires to fulfill, he had no prescribed duties to become purified of desires. That's what it means to be above the rules and regulations. You don't need to be purified. You automatically do the right thing. There's nothing external that has to guide you in that way. So sometimes it may not exactly follow the external formula. So, and he implores us, say, hear about this. And if you hear about Mother Saatchi and how she became free from offenses, you will also become free from offenses. And then the story goes, and this happens sometimes during Gaur Lila, because God has become a devotee, but he's also God. So that mood manifests, and he manifests himself on the altar as God, and he starts to give benedictions, and according to people's attachments, he fulfills their desire, but he gives benediction. And it's quite an ecstatic scene, because he's just, deliver my father, help this, and so be it, so be it, so be it. And now we've come to the part, what about your mother? And now I'll read a little bit, and then I'll comment. The Lord replied, do not say that, Srivas. I will not give her the enjoyment of ecstatic love of Godhead. Like a knife in the heart. Do you know how much the devotees love Mother Saatchi, who is so qualified? She was the mother of God. And one of the impetuses for love of Godhead is you love those who love God. And it's almost equal to the love of God. So to hear this was very, very disturbing. She has committed an offense against a Vaishnava. So there is an impediment to her attainment of ecstatic love. Aparad offenses. And I repeat points, many classes, because they struck me in my life. And I sometimes don't remember where I heard it from some saint, but bhakti is easy. Avoiding offenses is what's difficult. Anybody can perform bhakti. And if you avoid offenses, then you receive the full benefit of prema bhakti. Taramadye sarva shreshte nama sankirtan aparada paya premadan. Of all the nine processes of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. If one can do this without offense, he can easily attain love of Godhead. Offense is a type of sin. Sin is you break some of the rules and, you know, whatever. Offense is when you do something specifically displeasing to God. And that consciousness enough separates you from God. Aparad. Radha means worship. Upa means to distance oneself from worship of God. Because one on the platform of Uttama Bhakti is inoculated to a great degree from offenses, because he has that identity. The offenses come when we have the identity of enjoyer and controller. They don't come when you have the identity, I am the servant of Krishna. I am the servant of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya continued, she has committed an offense against a Vaishnava, so there's an impediment to her attainment of ecstatic love. So naturally, you know, the devotees, they're so soft-hearted and they're para dukkha dukkhi. they suffer for the suffering of others. So they just can't tolerate this, even though Lord Chaitanya is saying it. The elegant Srivas spoke again, "Oh Lord, these words will make us leave our bodies. This is too painful. How can she who has given birth to a son like you not be eligible for love of Godhead? Mother Sachi is the life of everyone and the life of the universe. Oh Lord, give up your illusion and bestow devotional service on her. Oh Lord, you are a son, so she is the mother of everyone. Can the son consider the offense of his own mother? Even if she's committed an offense against a Vaishnav, be merciful and destroy it. It is true that I can instruct everyone about devotional service, but I am never able to deliver one who has offended a Vaishnav out of envy." I remember now, I went over this last week, so I'll just read this. But if you offend a Vaishnav, you got to get forgiveness from the Vaishnav. When offends a Vaishnav, the offense can be excused only by that Vaishnav, no one else. Prabhu will forgive her offenses, and I will be able to instruct my mother about devotional service to the Lord. So if she gets it from Advaitacharya, you know how Durvasa's offense against Ambarish was fulfilled. There's a great book by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. He himself was a very humble and saintly man. His name was Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He lived to over 100 years old. And he wrote a book called The Heart of a Vaishnav. And in that book, he went over all the stories in Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila about offense to highlight it. And now, you know, Lord Chaitanya is really highlighting this by showing even his mother is not free from this prohibition. And I think things are highlighted when we don't take them seriously. I see that especially in, I can't say Western culture because I think that's all over the world, but how careless people are in the criticism of Vaishnavas. And some people say, no, I'm a Brahmin, it's my duty. You have to be really, really careful. Of course, we can correct. Criticism comes from hate or envy. I said criticism is worse than envy. Envy is when it's in the heart. Criticism is when it comes out. But it's born of so much hate. It's part of that core material conception of putting people down and gaining superiority and getting pleasure of the problems of others. So much lacking that beautiful Vaishnav culture. I remember one thing that struck me in Vrindavan. There was an elder Indian gentleman, and he served Prabhupada, but he became like the friend of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada didn't have anybody his age. He was at least, we were like grandchildren. He was at least more like somebody. He was an older Indian man. And he had a house near the temple, and I knew him well. And he donated the land that the Gurukul was on. And he was from the business class, but he never got married. He just wanted to live in Braj and worship Krishna. And, you know, in these small towns, there's always kind of envy and, you know, people. So he was gaining a little bit power, et cetera. And then somehow or other, he made some mistakes with a maidservant girl. And some of the local gundis, I mean, he's kind of the local mafia, they found out and it became a big scandal. And he belonged to something called the Char Sampradaya. I don't know much about it, but they were reputed saintly people, and they had an ashram on the bank of, they were some of the, one of the leading Hindu groups in the Kumbh Mela, et cetera. And, you know, because I knew this person quite well, actually, when he let me stay in his house in the room on the roof if I wanted to get away, and I knew him well. And I somehow, when this happened, I saw his godbrothers come. And I loved the Vaishnav culture. They didn't kick him down further. They were just so supportive, so compassionate. And they just recommended to him, as he was getting older, he should now move into their ashram. So that Vaishnav culture, but we're not protected by that culture. I made a point last week too, people. I got this from the commentary in the Shikshastakam, as the eyelids protect the eyes from dust, humility protects the soul from offenses. So that culture of respect, there's a culture of respect, a culture of humility. And when you see it, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, I went to a Prikraman Varsana, and this one devotee that gets around took me. So he said, I want to take you to a very special ashram. So he took me to an ashram near Varsana, and the people were falling over each other to serve me. And then somehow or other, this Mahant, who chants from 5:30 in the morning to 2:30 every day, a famous Baba Bhakta, I guess, they told him I was here, like I'm an important person. And he called me in, and I spoke to him. I asked him some questions. It was in. Then I sat out and took most incredible prasadam. Oh, my God. And I watched the people coming in and out, each one trying to serve the other more than the next. And I know that there's a culture like this that existed once, and that it's kind of foreign to the modern. Some scars push your way to the head, get to the top. But it's a beautiful thing, and we have to somehow embrace it. I love, therefore, living in India and getting to see some sadhus of Prabhupada's generation and even the generation next, and see what a Vaishnava is and how the culture is, and the mood of respect. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya is making the point and said, when Durvasa offended Ambarish, he went all over the universe, but he had to go back to Ambarish. And then Lord Chaitanya, she is offended at Dvaita. So she can only have ecstatic love when she gets Dvaita forgives her. So if she takes the dust of Dvaita's feet on her head, then by my order, she'll get ecstatic love. And then the devotees go to Advaita and they explain this. And Advaita is just, I mean, again, that culture of respect. This is my mother. This is the mother of God. How can I give her the dust of my feet? I would rather die than do that. People took it so seriously, how they would relate in the proper way with the proper respect. On hearing this, Advaita says, do they want to kill me? That I should give the dust of my feet to someone so revered I'm an aspirin for her dust. She, the womb where the Lord was born. She's the mother of the universe, personification of devotional service. How can you say such things? Even if one utters the word I as a mundane word, by the influence of the word I, AI, one will be free from all suffering. I'll have to look that up. Honestly, I know what that's about. There is no difference between the Ganga and Mother Sachi. In fact, she is not different from Devaki and Yasoda. Let me apologize. Somehow I did this last week, but we will get to new stuff. I'll be more careful too. So when he starts to think of Mother Sachi, the Lord of the universe, and thinks of her qualities, he falls unconscious to the ground. And then Mother Sachi, seeing the opportunity, took the dust from Advaita on his feet. So she took the opportunity, and as soon as that happened, Krishna Prem flourished from her, and she lost external consciousness. And this is what the devotees did. There was Leela, and there was love, and there was such deep emotion, and there was drama, and there was incredible mercy. And they felt that mercy so deeply. And they all began to glorify Lord Chaitanya. So they each lost consciousness by the influence of each other. And devotees started to do this ecstatic kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya is sitting there, and he's speaks to his mother. Now you have obtained perfection because you have free from the offense against Advaita. When the devotees heard these merciful words, and everybody's chanting Jai, there's this whole scene, this drama to increase emotion, but also to have us focus on such a point. This point should enter into our hearts of all aspiring Vaishnavas. We should be very, very careful never to offend a devotee. And then the conclusion. Lord Chaitanya, the spiritual master of all, cautioned everyone about Vaishnava aparad by using his mother as an example. Even one on the level of Lord Shiva will be destroyed. That is the verdict of all scriptures. Sinful people who ignore this fact, and blasphemy devotees are punished birth after birth. What to speak of others? Even Mother Sachi, the mother of Lord Chaitanya, wasn't free, exempt from being considered an offender to a Vaishnava. Actually, it was not even an offense, yet the Lord treated it as an offense. So the Lord, it's not only his mother, but he took something so subtle. Why did people call him Advaita, and what displeasure prompted Mother Sachi to call him Dvaita? Dvaita means hypocritical. It means dualistic. And Advaita means Advaita Acharya. He's God. He's everything. So one day she said, "You're not a Dwaita, you're Dwaita." So what caused this? And here it says, it was not even really an offense. It was just this motherly reaction. Again, that statement is so important because sometimes we see devotees go through such tribulations and such trials. And there's that, for example, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he suffered so much that when he saw his grandfather, when his grandfather lying on the battle of Kurukshetra saw him, he said, "You do not deserve to live. Your suffering was so great, it would have been better if you had died." Listen carefully as I narrate this topic, which is related to Vishwaroop. So I told you the story, we're going to go on, but it's Vishwaroop was inspired in renunciation, and Sachi was his mother. And her husband had died, and she was very attached to her son. And when her son left home, she was devastated. And you can imagine, then Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. There's in Bengal, there's this musical kirtan with great musicians, and they tell a story. And every year they have something called the Jayadev Mela. Hundreds of thousands of people come. Ekachakra, who some of you know, who wrote his PhD thesis on this, who wrote his PhD thesis on, you know, the origins of Bengali kirtan. He went there, he showed me, it was amazing. People just sleep in the audience and then they go to the bathroom and bathe in the sea. I mean, but these people are incredible. But one of the stories in this kirtan that they like to do is when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and the feelings of his mother. In fact, the place where Lord Chaitanya crossed the Ganges to go to Katwa and then take sannyas from Keshava Bharti Maharaj was called Nirdoya. The god is called Nirdoya. Doya means compassion and mercy. Nirdoya, without compassion and mercy. So they begin to describe his elder brother, and he was so beautiful, and his form was so effulgent. It was unique in the world. And he was so expert in scriptures and very, very sober. And his greatly effulgent form was unique in this, and he was not different than actually Nityananda. So he was so attractive that we cannot even imagine. And sometimes his explanations were so deep. This is trying to give you an idea of how attractive it was, that people really couldn't understand them. They were so deep and sophisticated. But he still remained like in the mood of a child. So he's so attractive. And then they tell stories that one day Jagannath Mishra went to an assembly of scholars, and that's his father, the father of Lord Chaitanya and Vishwaroop, and his beautiful, handsome son followed him. And when Jagannath entered the assembly with his son, everyone became pleased in seeing Vishwaroop. There are unique people in this world who are so pure in heart that they're karmically beautiful not to exploit others, but to please others. And when you see them, you realize that. Because a lot of times when people are very beautiful, it's kind of a karma to actually control. So therefore we see in Hollywood and Bollywood, the beauty is usually accompanied by some kind of arrogance, but sometimes the beauty is just a manifestation of one's purity. They're just pleasing people. And when you see them, you just want to serve them. And it enchanted his form, enchanted everyone. He possessed all potencies and opulences, and it was so attractive. So then, this was the Bhattacharyas, they're very learned Brahmins, and one asked him, what are you studying? And Vishwaroop replied, well, I know a little of everything. And that's all they answered. And as a child, no one pressed him further. But his father became a little bit upset because the answer seemed arrogant. And after finishing his business, Jagat Mishra departed for home. And on the way, he slapped Vishwaroop. Son, rather than telling everybody and answering their question what you were studying, why did you speak like that in the assembly? Everyone considered you a fool, and your arrogance has embarrassed me. And then this, you know, the great and fortunate Jagannath Mishra, the father of Vishwaroop, he returned home after exhibiting this anger. And then Vishwaroop, he returned to the assembly and spoke to the Bhattacharyas with a smile on his face. So generally what happens, when they're presenting a story and want to highlight it, they'll give a little story expressing the glories. And so he went, none of you questioned me, so I was punished by my father. Because when he said that, I know a little bit everything, they just didn't question him. And his father wanted him to be tested. All of you unite and ask me what you want. So one of the Bhattacharyas smiled and said, well, okay, tell me what you studied today. And Lord Vishwaroop began to explain some of the sutras. And his explanations, they just like were conclusive. Sometimes people have the ability to conceptualize and express the truth. They just have that ability, and it's just very, very profound. And this is Vishwaroop had the supreme ability. We can't even imagine the ability people had previously. There may be still a few people in India like this. They're called Shruti Dara. Dara means hearing and Shruti means to hear. Dara means holding and Shruti means to hear. Whatever they hear, they remember. Whatever they hear, they remember. So Lord Chaitanya and Vishwaroop had this quality that whatever they heard, they remembered. You could give them 100 verses and they'd memorize it. And if there's any small grammatical defect, they could highlight it. So people were like amazed. And they said, you explained it so nicely. And then Vishwaroop replied, I've deceived you, you've not understood anything. He then refuted what he established, and everyone's heart was struck with wonder. So he explained so beautifully that they accepted it. And then he said, you haven't understood anything. And then he refuted it. And he did this three times. In the most intellectual way. But and each time, no one could refute him or understand. So this just shows this is the quality of this person. But residing in Navadvip, he was not pleased because people bereft of devotional service. People were intoxicated over ordinary ideas. Many people were called Shaktis. Shaktis is they worship the material energy and they believe advancement in life is material opulence. That was a great deal of Navadvip. I told you about that book, Jiva Dharma, where you learn all the tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness, how people come to this kunj in Gojram where these different sages are living and they present their views or they try to get educated and they become corrected. Well, some of them are the Shaktas, just materialists. They worship the material energy for power. And they believe that's a spiritual process. And they certainly didn't engage in the glorification of the Vaishnavas. And they spent all their money on their sons and family members. And they didn't know anything of the worship of Krishna. All teachers simply indulge in useless argument. I'll make a point here. A Vaishnava doesn't argue. He may argue on the platform of knowledge or correction, but he really is careful that it's productive and it has a purpose and it's not born from ego. And you go and you see, I don't see, I'm not on the Facebook, but sometimes a thread will be thrown to me. And just people go back and back and forth for days and for ages. Vaishnav doesn't have time. Only when it's efficacious. But when you see people just go back and back and forth and argue, no matter what you say, forget it. Again, they didn't know anything about the worship of Krishna or devotional service. And even they taught Bhagavatam and Gita, and they did not refer to devotional service, but simply engage in dry speculation. And as Vishwaroop, you can imagine through Navadvip wandering here and there, he became so unhappy because he did not hear anything of devotional service. Our happiness should be quality Krishna Katha and the facility and opportunity to hear it. That's Bhadram. That's auspicious. Let us all pray. We can all join together in the holy land of Braj in the future, sitting with the great sages of Vrindavan and exalted disciples of Prabhupada, and just sit and hear Yashrinvatam Rasagyanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade Rasagyanam. Hear knowledge of perfection, which is this height of love that inspires us in the heart to seek that. And then he said, the only one was Advaita Simha, the lion lock Advaita, who being endowed with Krishna's full potencies, explained devotional service to Krishna while teaching yoga Vasishta. Who is able to understand the explanations of Advaita? He was the topmost Vaishnava. wherever he went, Vishwarup felt unhappy, yet he attained happiness of ecstatic love in the association of Advaita. And therefore, what did he do? This is it. This was his faith. He constantly remained in the association of Advaita, and they relished Rasaranga. They relished Rasa, this explanation. Anyway, it's going to go on that Mother Sachi, she wears her son, and Lord Chaitanya was just a young little boy, and she told her son, go bring your brother. And he would come and ask his brother to come back for lunch. And then eventually we'll read more of what happens. Would anybody like to share any reflection?
Haribol Maharaj.
Hey, Jamuna Jaya, Haribol.
Good morning. I really was struck, I think last time too, of what you said about that prajalpa will lead to aparad. It's what's that expression? It's a slippery slope, you know, starting check, and the next thing you know. Yeah.
I repeat things that I think are extremely important. And that's one of them. You're listening out in the garden or something, Jamuna Jaya?
Yeah, I live in a basement apartment, so these are my steps and I have my flowers. I wanted to sit outside for a little bit.
Anybody else like to share a point or say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Kishori, Haribol.
Haribol. You know, actually, when you were talking about sitting in Vrindavan and just being with the saints in Vrindavan, I was so struck by how much I took that for granted for so long. Do you know, like how incredibly blessed and special that is, and how many years I just took for granted that I'm going to Vrindavan. Like, of course I'm going to Vrindavan, right? And I was just incredibly struck by what an amazing thing that is and how much I took it for granted and really just feeling that separation.
I think you did quite well there, but when we look back on it, we really have to think what a treasure that was.
Yeah. Right?
Coming and going to the Goshala and getting that association with Pandita, and then coming to my classes in the morning and evening and just living the full life of a devotee. How sweet is that? Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Who would like to say hello?
Good morning, Maharaj. It's Isabel. How are you?
Hi, Isabel. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Headed to work?
No, coming from the dog park.
Okay. 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 Hare Bo, Isabel. Thank you.
Nice. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, that's Surya Radhika?
It's Lisa.
Wow.
I wanted to share a reflection, just that seems quite personal with what you're sharing in connection to offense. And I was
Wait, where is this now? This is Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
I was just connecting what you were saying about offenses back to a class that you gave a few months ago about forgiveness. And I was just thinking that the easiest way to make offenses is when we feel justified in something that we've been wronged. And so I'm thinking about that subtlety in Vaishnav etiquette of like, even if we've been wronged, we still have to try our best not to make offenses.
Yeah, I remember that. I gave a class on forgiveness where I called it giving up justified hate. There's so many things in this world that are disturbing because people are not cultured and people are disturbed themselves. Because very little of the world is working now to make people secure and peaceful in the basic things. Generally, what a society should be is, you know, you have the basic things. You have your family and your occupation and your guru and the place where you live, and all these things are settled. You know, and then you have the problems of life. But now in the modern world, even the very foundations are a struggle. So when people are disturbed, they have a shorter fuse. I saw that with me a little bit recently because I'm trying to recover my health. So I can see when you have less energy yourself, you become less tolerant of others. So this world is just meant for being disturbed. It's described in the Gita, Prabhupada described like, it's the age of quarrel and confusion, but it's described like dry bamboo and the wind blows and a fire starts. Where did it start? Just the world is brushing egos against egos. And they inflame into so many conflicts, both individually, family, community, collectively, universally. It's just, therefore, we have such responsibility to ourselves to become Vaishnavas. It's such a beautiful thing where a person is not selfish and he's ready to serve others and he's forgiving. Such a responsibility. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Haribol from Mayapur.
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Radha Charan, Krishna Premi, Haribol.
Haribol, Maharaj.
Big day yesterday with our Tamal, huh?
Wow, I mean, it was amazing. Historical, it was epic.
Epic? In what way was it epic?
Because everyone who was there acknowledged the fact that these young men, there was four of them who graduated, and these young men have spent the last 12 years being trained, not academically, but to actually become men with good character, moral responsibility, and in leadership. And you can see on their faces how confident they are that now they can go into the world and they can assume any task, they can take on any service and be successful.
Yeah, what Radhatran is talking about, I have a very dear student and family in Mayapur, and 12 years ago they put their son into the traditional Gurukula, and now they graduated, and this boy Tamal, who is the son of Yugala and Jagadish, he came with me to Moscow to preach, and it's like another level of human being. You can see 12 years of just training and education and the character that they have. Isn't it Radhatran? It's something special.
Unique human beings and unique Vaishnavas.
What's that?
And a unique family. So the main point that was, because everybody got to speak, but then the principal of the school, Madhava Goranga, says, now I'll give you the punchline. And he said, the success of the Gurukul is not the teachers and it's not the ashram teachers. The success of the Gurukul is the parents. If the kids have parents' support, the kids will succeed.
They're superhuman. Tamal in there, they're just another level of human being. Very good. Nice to hear from you. We'll talk on Saturday, okay?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, one or two more like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Sri Radhika.
Sri Radhika, Yasame. Hi, Bo. Good to see you.
Thank you very much for the class. Thank you.
Great. I love to see you both sitting there. It's great. It's my joy.
We're looking forward to see you in Vrindavan, Maharaj.
it's my joy to see you both. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Oh, Vrajadevi, is that you?
It's me, but I don't know how to, well, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad, you know, because I've taken this responsibility of teacher, and now you can hear regularly from me.
Yes.
And perhaps see some of the people that you know, like Narma Sukhi and others.
Yes, we keep in touch.
Okay. Thank you, Vrajadevi. Nice.
Thank
to
you, Gurudev.
Okay. Okay. One more person, then I really have to go today. I'm going to.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. It's Lal Govinda.
It's Braja.
Hey, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Thank you. Great.
Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Narma Sakhi.
Hey, wow.
We thank you so much.
We have such a great community. Yeah. Okay. So many challenges. Now my computer crashed. I'm trying to figure out how to work that. Okay, I actually have to go. I have some things to do today. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha.